This is the Andres Segovia Show.
I'm your host, Andres Segovia, and on today's episode, I'm going to be showing you a presentation that was given 10 years ago in Edinburgh, Scotland. This is a presentation that woke me up to tech tracking. It is the one that shook me to the core and quite literally made me care more about my data, my privacy, how I conduct myself online, how much of my information I do want online, and things like that. And let's just say a lot of people didn't heed the concerns that were brought up then, neither the stuff that was brought up even before that. And now look at where we are. So without further ado, I actually just want to dive on into this. So here is that presentation.
Hi, this is my mobile phone. Mobile phone can change your life. And a mobile phone gives you individual freedom. With a mobile phone, you can shoot a crime against humanity in Syria. With a mobile phone, you can tweet a message and start a protest in Egypt. And with a mobile phone, you can record a song, load it up to SoundCloud, and become famous. All this is possible with your mobile phone. I'm a child of 1984, and I live in the city of Berlin. Let's go back to that time, to this city. Here you can see how hundreds of thousands of people stood up and protested for change. This is autumn 1989. And imagine that all those people standing up and protesting for change had a mobile phone in their pocket. Who in the room has a mobile phone with you? Hold it up. Hold your phones up. Hold it up. An Android, a BlackBerry. Wow. That's a lot. Almost everybody today has a mobile phone. But today I will talk about me and my mobile phone and how it changed my life. And I will talk about this. These are 35,830 lines of information, raw data. And why are these information there? Because in the summer of 2006, the EU Commission tabled a directive. This directive calls Data Retention Directive. This directive says that each phone company in Europe, each internet service company all over Europe, has to store a wide range of information about their users. Who calls whom? Who sends whom an email? Who sends whom a text message? And if you use your mobile phone, where you are. All these information are stored for at least 6 months up to 2 years by your phone company or your internet service provider. And all over Europe, people stood up and said, we don't want this. They said, we don't want this data retention. We want self-determination in the digital age, and we don't want that phone companies and internet companies have to store all this information about us. There were lawyers, journalists, priests, they all said, we don't want this. And here you can see, like, 10,000 of people went out on the streets of Berlin and said, freedom, not fear. And some even said, this would be Stasi 2.0. Stasi was the secret police in East Germany. And I also ask myself, does it really work? Can they really store all this information about us every time I use my mobile phone? So I asked my phone company, Deutsche Telekom, which was at that time the largest phone company in Germany, and I asked them, please, send me all the information you have stored about me. And I asked them once, and I asked them again, and I got no real answer. It was only blah, blah answers. But then I said, I want to have this information, because this is my life. You are protocoling. So I decided to start a lawsuit against them, because I wanted to have this information. But Deutsche Telekom said, no, we will not give you this information. So at the end, I had a settlement with them. I put down the lawsuit, and they will send me all the information I asked for. Because in the meantime, the German Constitutional Court ruled that the implementation of this EU directive into German law was unconstitutional. So I got this ugly brown envelope with a CD inside. And on the CD, this was on. 35,830 lines of information. And first I saw it and I said, okay, it's a huge file, okay. But then after a while I realized, this is my life. This is 6 months of my life into this file. So I was a little bit skeptical, what should I do with it? Because you can see where I am, where I sleep at night, what am I doing? But then I said, I want to go out with this information. I want to make them public, because I want to show the people what does data retention mean. So together with Zeit Online and Open Data City, I did this. This is a visualization of 6 months of my life. You can zoom in and zoom out. You can wind back and fast forward. You can see every step I take. And you can even see how I go from Frankfurt by train to Cologne and how often I call in between. All this is possible with this information. That's a little bit scary. But it is not only about me. It's about all of us. First, it's only like I call my wife and she calls me. And we talk to each other a couple of times. And then there are some friends calling me and they call each other. And after a while, you are calling you and you are calling you and you have this great communication network where you can see how your people are communicating with each other, what times they call each other, when they go to bed. You can see all this. You can see the hubs, like who are the leaders in a group. If you have access to this information, you can see what your society is doing. If you have access to this information, you can control your society. This is a blueprint for countries like China and Iran. This is a blueprint how to survey your society, because you know who talks to whom, who sends whom an email. All this is possible if you have access to this information. And this information are stored for at least 6 months in Europe, up to 2 years. Like I said at the beginning, imagine that all those people on the streets of Berlin in autumn of 1989 had a mobile phone in their pocket. And the Stasi would have known who took part at this protest. And if the Stasi would have known who are the leaders behind it. This may never have happened. The fall of the Berlin Wall would maybe not there. And in the aftermath, also not the fall of the Iron Curtain. Because today, state agencies and companies want to store as much information as they can get about us, online and offline. They want to have the possibility to track our lives, and they want to store them for all time. But self-determination and living in the digital age is no contradiction. But you have to fight for your self-determination today. You have to fight for it every day. So, when you go home, tell your friends that privacy is a value of the 21st century and it's not outdated. When you go home, tell your representative only because companies and state agencies have the possibility to store certain information. They don't have to do it. And if you don't believe me, ask your phone company what information they store about you. So, in the future, every time you use your mobile phone, let it be a reminder to you that you have to fight for self-determination in the digital age. Thank you.
I hope that presentation woke you up a little bit, because that was 10 years ago. It's even worse today. Just know that whenever you hear terms like geotagging or geofencing and things like that, that tends to happen when, let's say, you take out your camera on your phone and you take a picture. Well, if you have what is called a geotag, that means the global positioning things. That means the software is using the GPS, the global positioning signal, in your phone that communicates to the satellites to pinpoint your exact location. And geotagging then embeds it into the metadata of the picture. The picture is stored as metadata. The coordinates are put as metadata. What camera or device that you use to take that picture is put into metadata. Just look at the metadata of a picture. And I do that on the daily, you can really narrow down who and what took the picture and where in a lot of cases. That's why I make sure to strip my pictures of at very least location data because of that. So if you hear things like geofencing or geotagging and things like that, just know if you have the metadata, you have it all. Because the metadata is the foundation on which everything else is written. Every digital code is written on metadata. So just then you know, it's a lot worse now where you have big tech oligarchies now tracking you in different ways because, well, they wanted in on the action so they can provide better service to their clients. And the client's not you. You are, you're basically the product. You're the battery to their matrix, just like the matrix said. Because how else do you give your clients, in this case, other businesses, targeted ads? How do you make it more efficient and effective for them? Well, by knowing the behavior of the people, what they like, where they usually are, and things like that. That's why Facebook has its own algorithm, which you can also find on Instagram because of my Facebook. That's why Google, when you're shopping, they know what you're looking for, and you start getting ads to that effect across everything from your Gmail to your services like YouTube and things like that because they can. Microsoft has its own ways too. So everyone relies on this in an extent to use you as the product of and sell you to the highest bidder. And it's even worse now because in the name of convenience, we allow more interference and invasion into our own privacy, into our own lives. Like if you have an AirTag, for example, you don't realize that, oh, I didn't get the latest iPhone. You didn't have to get the latest iPhone to make an AirTag work. If you have an iPhone or any Apple product, you are part of the biggest surveillance system ever deployed. Because older devices running iOS, God knows what, so long as it's like, I think it's like from iPhone 6S, I think, and above, that run that latest software communicate with AirTags. And if you're thinking, well, I don't have an iPhone, I have an Android device, you think you're safe. Oh my goodness, there's an application. I'm going to leave a link in the video description down below for you to look up so you can install on your phone to find out whether you're part of the Apple surveillance system. Yes, AirTags also communicate with Android devices, even if they're de-Googled. So think about this. You said yes because you didn't read the terms and conditions. Look, in the right hands, the metadata is a good thing. So law enforcement agencies that are actually using it for the right purposes through warrants to obtain these things for an investigation would be great if they actually left politics out of it, such as certain government agencies that are doing targeted operations against political opponents. No, but if they did it right, they should. Because when, as you can see with this kind of tracking, if you're trying to expose a criminal enterprise to expose fraud at a massive level, you can do that. And as an example of this in play, with just geotagging and geofencing, for example, that's not even talking about the triangulation involved in all this in the metadata. Okay, that requires more digging, but it's definitely possible when you have phones pinging to Wi-Fi spots because you think you turned off your Wi-Fi on your device on your iPhone, but smart Wi-Fi is on, so you only turned it off there. And the phone will constantly ping and looking for another Wi-Fi spot and say, hey, look, there's a Wi-Fi spot open over there. It's already communicating even though you're technically not connected to it. That's called Wi-Fi triangulation. That makes it even more accurate to pinpoint where you are. That's not even taking into account a 4G voice over long-term evolution, VoLTE, and then of course 5G, which is even way more accurate in pinpointing your location, which a lot of people don't realize they're utilizing now. So you can be tracked to the inch of where you are. Check out my stuff, www.thejustgoover.com. I'll see you in the next one.